Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 8 of the TV Dads Wrestling Federation. As always, my name is VexX, joined by your host, Mr. Johnny Zero.
The people's hero at your service.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight is a very special occasion and a special broadcast for the TV Dads Wrestling Podcast. You see, merely 4 hours ago, we concluded the first ever TV Dads pay-per-view event ever, and live in Texas Stadium.
And our inaugural World's Heavyweight Champion was just crowned tonight. We're covered in confetti. It was unbelievable. I'm trying to get backstage right now. Vex, you're going to have to stay out of here. I got to go in the ventilation shaft, man.
Well, let me explain to all the listeners what's actually happening. We are having the official wrap-up show in the squared circle. We are center stage, the microphones are set up, and we're here looking over Texas Stadium. The blood is still on the mat before us. Now, there's security everywhere. It's newly enhanced. It seems that since Mr. Ross Perot's plane has gone down, for reasons that I don't fully understand yet, and neither does Mr. Johnny Zero.
It's sick. It's a very serious situation. It's crucial.
Jerry Springer has assumed control temporarily of the TV Dads Wrestling Federation. Now, that being said, normally Mr. Zero goes backstage after such events.
Oh, well, this one's going to be a little bit different because of the plane going down. I'm going to have to go. Maybe somebody can give me a boost. I'm going to go down there. I'm going to stay in contact with you via earpiece. And I'm going to try and go down into the different corridors of the locker rooms. You have the map for me, right?
I do not, sir. Unfortunately, I've never been here before. I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan, and fuck Texas Stadium.
I get it. I'm not a Dallas Cowboys fan either. I'm an Eagles fan myself, but I'm saying, well, I'll just have to...
You're going to wing it, I suppose. But you've been backstage before. Here's what I want to stress to everyone listening. Yeah. We have newly enhanced security. Things are completely different. We've already set up the wrap-up show, if you will. It's been before Perot's jet has gone down. We knew we were going to make this broadcast and record and recap the night's events, and now there's just security everywhere. So with that, Mr. Johnny Zero, oh, I believe that you're going to try and, as you said, break backstage.
Bro, I just saw Bull. I just saw Bull from Night Court walking around. This place,
not in the Frankenstein makeup, correct? He's dressed as police uniform?
Not yet, but I did notice a bolt on one side of his neck. I don't know if that was just part of his suit. I have no idea. With Gwynn and Fred Gwynn, the thespian, the giant of TV Dad Wrestling.
Do you want to actually begin the wrestling recap at this point?
Yes.
And then report in when you get backstage?
I got to climb up into the ventilation shaft and get past the security. And I'd like you to, you're going to have to carry this one, bro.
Most definitely, sir.
We're going to be contacted via earpiece.
So you're wearing an earpiece or taking a microphone with you, is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, sir.
All right, to recap, what we had tonight was a fantastic wrestling event. I believe that might be Johnny Zero attempting to break into the ventilation shaft as we speak. I'm sure you can hear it. Johnny, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you, bro. I'm just trying to get up in this thing. I got my boots. I should have worn my boots. Dang. I gotcha. I'm with you.
Okay, sir.
I'm coming over locker room A. Just give me a minute. Keep going, brother.
I believe Johnny Zero is going to lower his microphone and try to get some inside information. Let's listen in, shall we? Mr. Zero?
They're no match for droid decals.
Sir, they've gone up the ventilation shaft.
Oh my goodness, Johnny, I think someone heard you in the ventilation shaft.
Are you fucking with me?
I'm not, sir. Did you hear that?
Don't fuck me up here, dude.
No, not at all. Please be safe.
I'm trying. All right, I'm coming up on corridor A.
What do you see, sir? What's the view of Johnny Zero, the bird eye view?
All right. It looks like... Okay, I gotta keep my voice down.
Sure,
sorry,
of course.
I think I'm seeing James Evans on one of the on the benches. All the wrestlers have to come to the first pay per view, even if they're working or not.
Sure. So what's happening with Mr. Evans?
It's something going on between him and the Duke of Chicago.
Is he surrounded by a group of people?
No, it's just him, and he looks like he is pissed. And James Evans is pissed, and Jimmy Walker, the Duke of Chicago. And it looks like they're going back and forth about something. I'm going to try and lower my microphone in there further, but I can only see through the ventilation shaft, folks. So, you know, I'm dependent on Vex here, and we got to get each other's back. But I'm trying to tell you that it looks like the Duke of Chicago, Jimmy Walker, and James Evans are having some kind of fight. This may be related to when James Evans left Good Times. It may be real life, but the person there that looks like is taking the brunt of this is the Militant. Michael, the little brother. And I'm going to get back to you in a second. Vexy, probably, I probably need to go mute for a second.
Okay, do that, climbing. Johnny. Just be safe, sir. Be safe.
I'm trying.
So, ladies and gentlemen, to recap some of the events of tonight, we do have a new world's heavyweight champion. The Frontiersman Charles Ingalls has risen to prominence and is the first ever TV Dad's Wrestling Federation champion. It was a glorious victory. He overtook the heckler, and if you remember correctly from moments ago for you and 4 hours ago for us, Stashberg was in one of the Pandora's boxes, and it became a three-man dance in that final cage before they ascended to the third. It was an interesting event, to say the least. It was colorful. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm kind of left speechless. Oh, I see that my monitor's lighting up. Perhaps we have some more information from Johnny Zero.
Oh, man. Dude, I'm up here. You can't believe what I just saw. There's some kind of commotion going on with the with James Evans, the working man, and the Duke of Chicago. And Michael the Militant, I have to go into another corridor. I had to go around the thing. I'm looking through another ventilation shaft. There are so many other out-of-work TV dads or whatever it is, celebrities, so forth, that have shown up backstage at this thing. I can't believe how big we're doing. Anyway, I saw Mr. Lawson from Small Wonder.
Small Wonder, the TV show with the robotic girl.
Absolutely, backstage. And it's unbelievable. Somebody's confronting him about abusing Vicky, that she was sexually abused of some sort. I'm trying to get closer so I can, maybe I can lend my microphone down in there and see what we can get out of it. So let me see what I can do.
Remember, we're live.
Until she left, he complimented her. He touched her hair. He waited until she left and would leave when she left. He then talked about whether or not she would need a ride home. He took her home.
My God.
He was targeting her, sizing her up, contemporaneous, confirming, corroborating evidence.
Oh, shit, dude, I gotta get out of here.
Johnny Zero, be careful.
Did you hear that shit?
I did. That is madness, sir.
Unbelievable.
So, Vicky Lawson, is she backstage with Mr. Lawson? Is that something there?
She's standing over in a corner being consoled by... I think that's John Ritter, dude, but
you had to get out. You don't know, really.
I gotta get the hell out of there. That's unbelievable. Somebody's gotta help that poor girl, man. He's been molesting her for years.
I guess it would be, technically. This is a sad day.
This is actually and that voice sounded familiar. I can't... Unbelievable. Can you believe this? Holy shit, man. I gotta get out of here, dude. I gotta get out of here. I can't believe it. I'm going back over to the corridor B and the locker room 3 with the Evans boys. I keep hearing them. There's a bunch of rackets going over there. Can you hear any of this? I'm trying my best, guys.
I don't want to step in the ring. Michael, maybe you could have really been
Florida.
Calm
down, baby. James is gonna get mad.
We're gonna get back at those dudes.
No, you ain't getting back at nobody.
Oh, my goodness. Did you get away?
I got out of there, but Jane, this must have been after. I'm sorry, guys. Duke of Chicago just left. That's James Walker. Jimmy Walker is an older man. He apparently there was a fight about how when Coming to America came out that James didn't give him throwing any bones and he wasn't in with the Murphy boys, and he's pissed. He is pissed.
But if I'm not mistaken, they were just discussing the defeat to Mr. Bonaducci.
Absolutely.
In the blackout match tonight that happened erroneously and by mistake.
Absolutely. Notice it was a blackout, and that was part of the argument. I wish I could have gotten my... Yeah, that's what James was saying, and Michael's caught in the middle. You're right. And Bonaducci to defeat him? Bonaducci is somebody to watch out for, folks.
The Militants, Black Pride, crazy things happening in the backdoor arena.
It's unbelievable.
So, Johnny Zero, I suggest that you get out of that air vent and you get back to us here in the ring before security notices.
I'm trying, brother. I just want to get busted. Just make sure you got my end on the other side.
Be careful. All right. Come crawl. Oh, okay.
Got it.
All right. Come back to the ring.
All right. Coming.
As we await Mr. Zero to rejoin the ringside, announcing, actually ringside, we're in center, we're in the squared circle, we are center of the ring, and like I said, if you look at the ground and the mat, there's still blood everywhere. It's an extensive representation of the fantastic wrestling entertainment that was offered to you, the paying audience, for the first ever TV Dads Wrestling Federation pay-per-view event. Mr. Zero, welcome back.
Hey, what's going on?
So are you out of breath?
I'm doing good, man. I just had to use the bathroom, that's all.
I got to tell you, some amazing things have transpired. We've got some recordings of the Evans family having a discussion after the Danny Bonaducci loss. We have introduced, for the first time ever, Mr. Lawson. Is that his name, sir?
Yes, I believe so. That's what I'm hearing. He's a lot of the TV Dads, it's amazing how many people were drawing in or backstage trying to get a piece of it because they didn't jump on in the first place or what have you. But
well, now it's very lucrative. So if you're a TV dad who's out of work, whose show has been canceled, you're probably going to come here and try to get some money.
Absolutely.
Now, again, this is an initial recap show of the first ever pay-per-view event. Yes. So we're going to do a mild recap.
And what a show it was.
I feel the same way. Now, we had just intercepted a conversation of the James family discussing the defeat to Danny Bonaducci. Now, it was a unique situation. If you remember correctly, they're in the squared circle. The match begins, and all the lights go out. Like, all the lights go out, and like, there was nothing. And when the lights come back on, for no reason at all, James Evans is unconscious in the center of the ring.
Just like that Super Bowl.
Now, what I find, exactly. And what I find peculiar, sir, is why the Evans boys did not come to their father's rescue. It didn't make a great deal of sense to me, sir.
I don't either. I kind of believe, from what I have been told, I don't live there, is that the Duke of Chicago, Jimmy Walker, is a much bigger man now. And that he is, because he feels that he is more of a father to Michael than James was. James was always working.
Hence the working man title.
Absolutely. I'm a big fan of James Williams. He's one of the top wrestlers in the world, a heroic figure.
A great competitor, sir.
Absolutely. And I feel like, just from the outside looking in, that there is some sort of battle for Michael's loyalty or mind that's going on between James and JJ, Dynamite JJ.
Dynamite!
But you can't say that around him. He looks like he's wearing the exact garb of the Duke of New York from Escape from New York. And he has grown. He's had a strange growth.
Perhaps he's gotten involved with the PEDs.
Stunt. Yeah, well, that could be it. Or could be the times he wasn't working when James was doing work with Eddie Murphy and Charlie Murphy.
Specifically
Rick
mentioning
James, even.
Specifically mentioning Coming to America.
Absolutely. McDowell's.
McDowell's.
And
a side note, did you hear that McDowell's has literally opened up in New York?
Are you serious?
It's real. I'm not even being sarcastic. It's on Facebook.
Wow.
Speaking of which, ladies and gentlemen, we would take this time in the program to please ask you to log on to the TV Dads Wrestling Facebook page.
Absolutely. You guys don't know. You really need to get in here and get on early, folks, because it's starting to heat up bad, real good, bad, whatever.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, you had given me a message this morning that they're talking about an international competition where the TV Dads would actually wrestle overseas. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, yes. In order to be in our promotion, the TV Dads Wrestling here, there are other regional promotions. For example, Pat Morita has gotten Mr. Samurai.
Who does qualify. He had that television program for four episodes in the 1970s.
Excellent finishing move, the flying crane.
We discussed that previously, yes,
yes,
sir.
Yeah. Well, he's the All Japan United champion.
Is that official?
It is official.
So he is the champion there.
He is the champion.
So now that we have a newly crowned World's TV Dad Wrestling Federation heavyweight champion, it's only likely that he'd be traveling to different markets to defend that title. Is that correct?
One would think so. The thing over there is just like the IWGP, which is called the International World Grand Prix. They unify the All Japan, which is Baba, Giant Baba, and New Japan, and with Muda and everything. And then they have Noah, and they have a lot of strong style wrestling and so forth.
And IWA, the United States wrestlers have a long and varied history of competing overseas in Japan. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir. And it looks like Morita has unified those belts, but that can change on a nightly basis.
But here's my question to you, Mr. Zero. Say Ingles travels internationally as we are speaking, and he has a match with the all-champion, is that how we say it, the unified champion, Pat Morita?
Yes, sir.
My question would be, say our champion defeats their champion. Do we now carry that title along with the TV Dads Wrestling Federation title?
I don't know. Normally, with Perot, it would have been so.
But it's a different day, isn't it, sir?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how that works. Global is, I think that... I think that you have to, in order, if he was to win it, he would have to stay there and defend it because, you know, for, you know, Japan is not a huge country. That's
oh, so
a lot of wrestling.
He couldn't leave. He'd have to stay there.
Oh, absolutely.
And defend that title.
Absolutely.
But he is our champion. He'd have to return home to the States to defend his title.
Yes.
Soil.
He can make a world championship run there, you know,
a week
periodically.
Or so.
Yeah. Like, I think he has to go. I'm not sure how Engel's contract works out. I'm
to
not
be
sure.
honest, it should be renegotiated now that he's the champion. This is a big deal. He's the face of the franchise.
I'm still waiting on the facts to come through. I'm sure your guys probably know more about it than I do, but if I'm not mistaken, they have to make at least two runs a year.
To stay international.
Yeah,
in
yeah. Like, and then there's one in Mexico, one in Puerto Rico, one in England, one in Ireland.
Know, speaking of Mexico. Yeah. The second match of the evening, which wasn't the Evans and Bonaducci fight, that was the first.
Yes.
We had featured the two Tonys for the first time ever facing off against the Luchadors.
Absolutely.
And the Luchadors came in as fantastic fan favorites. A la Tito Morales, if you will. Like this fantastic abundance of love for really no reason because Tito Morales sucked. But the point is... The point is...
He was good in his day.
You know, explain that. Let's fight about that for a moment, because I don't like Tito Morales. Is that his name?
Tito Morales or Tito Santana?
I'm
Pedro
sorry.
Morales or Tito Santana?
It was Tito Santana. Yeah. I despised him as a child. I thought he was an awful wrestler. He was a face. He was protected, if you will, by Vince McMahon, and it drove me crazy.
If you can imagine, he comes from the West Texas University, which is the same...
Watch this. This is me wrong. I was right.
No, listen.
Keep going, sir.
Imagine him had he been in WCW.
I just wish he would have got some PEDs and was a huge behemoth of a wrestler like he should have been in the 1980s, right. Which everyone was.
Well, he had some great matches with Valentine.
And he didn't look like Flair. Like Flair, if nothing else, he was a fit man.
The continuity of their styles, their chemistry would have worked together, whether you like him or not. I love that. It's the best flying forum I've ever seen in my life.
And then he was Strike Force after that, remember?
Yeah.
Like, they just kept trying to break this athlete in the WWF back then, and he just never took
off.
I
looked at it differently. I thought he was one of the best workers in the WWF, period, and that they put him in a stupid pink and yellow...
he was a jobber they tried to put over. And
yellow,
no, Strike Force
pink,
was red and white, remember that? It was white trunks with red outlines.
But Rick Martel was the AWA World Champion, and you agree with me that he was one of the more underrated baby faces, do you not or no?
No, I feel he got his due in the AWA. They really loved him because it was Nick Bockwinkel and then it became his run. Like he was the guy.
Was it Nick Bockwinkel? Was it Stan? He beat Nick Bockwinkel.
Well, because Nick Bockwinkel was the champion for a very long time.
Oh, yeah. Nick Bockwinkel, very underrated.
Oh, no. I think he's respected.
Yeah.
He's kind of the man.
Unbelievable. I put Bockwinkel's in-ring work up there with Flair's any day of the week. I'm not saying he did it for a long period of time.
He didn't have the level of fame that Flair did. Now,
absolutely.
Is it because of the organization he was a part of? Remember, the NWA would send Flair everywhere.
Absolutely.
So he would go and fight the AWA, except for New York. He never came over to fight in WWF at that time. But Mid-Atlantic and South and the whole thing, he did them all.
He's right. Absolutely. The thing about Bockwinkel and Flair is that, well, if you remember, there was a pay-per-view from 93. Which a lot of people don't know about. It was called the Legends Reunion, which there was a lot of us guys who like the 80s nostalgia kind of stuff. It was a rebirth of that in a way. And they had a match there, and it was Dory Funk Jr., they're the only two brothers, Dory and Terry, to ever hold the World's Heavyweight Championship.
The tag champions, you mean? Or no, they mean separately
same
the World Championship?
Separately the World Heavyweight
Understood.
Championship.
Understood.
Yeah. Did they win? They were World Tag Champs, too.
Oh, I don't know the answer to that question.
I don't know, either. I don't know. I'm not everything. I don't know everything, but I'm saying, like... they had a match on there, and these guys are retired. They came out cold. There's no music or anything like that. And they did a Broadway. I think it was like a 60-minute Broadway. I'm not sure exactly how long it was. It may have been cut down for pay-per-view time or television taping. But it was it's easily a 4-star match.
The first time I ever saw Terry Funk, right, I was a child. And I believe it was NWA because he was running through there. And the work was brilliant. He goes to the ring, and there was an African-American gentleman in a suit who was the valet working ringside. So listen. So he hands the valet his cowboy hat and his poncho or whatever he was wearing.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was folding up the poncho, the African-American gentleman put the cowboy hat on his afro.
Oh, wow.
And this made Mr. Funk lose his fucking mind. mind.
Wow.
And he pulled this poor black guy into the ring and beat him to the ground.
Wow.
And I was little. I was like 7 or 8. I'm like, Daddy, why are you beating out your black guy? Damn. He's like, well, he did put his hat on his head, son. Wow. So perhaps he should not have done that.
Wow. That's funny. If you remember when Tri-State Wrestling was first getting started, before it's the early workings of Eastern Stamp Championship Wrestling and turning into ECW at the Viking Hall. I went there to see Terry Funk versus Kevin Sullivan.
Oh, my goodness. That'd be a great match.
Oh, it was so good. Terry Funk is one of my all-time favorite wrestlers. One of the greatest ever.
The last time I saw him, because I was older, was in the Beyond the Mat documentary.
Yes.
And if I'm not mistaken, he came out of retirement to help the ECW, which was fledging at the time, late 90s, and try to, like, you know.
First world champion on the pay-per-view.
And he fought Bret Hart. Remember?
Yes. Bret Hart came at that Dallas at the Sportatorium, wasn't it?
Philly. Yeah, in Philly. And he literally, it was in Philly.
Right,
he came to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Remember, at the ECW arena.
Yeah, first pay-per-view.
I don't know if it was the first pay-per-view, but he lost to Bret Hart. That was the point. He wouldn't win to Bret because he said that he was a much younger, stronger wrestler. And at the time, Bret Hart was carrying Vince McMahon's World Heavyweight Championship.
Absolutely. But didn't they do one of those finishes where, like, it went 60 minutes?
Again, I don't know. It was beyond the mat. That's how I know about
it. That's so awesome. That's just the fact that Terry Funk would be so selfless to... Launch
selfless. I like how people would describe Terry Funk as selfless. He was really nice in that documentary. He was a very positive influence.
At that point in his career, I'm saying I don't know the man personally or anything, but I'm saying for him to launch an independent from up here with us, man, in Philly. I mean, that's pretty awesome. You know, he could have been.
Yeah, but who was the guy running that? Was that Johnny Dangerously? Is that his name? What was his name?
No, there was
Heyman.
It was Todd
Paul Heyman.
It was actually everybody thinks that, but it was really Todd Gordon. And later on, Paul Heyman.
And Paul Heyman's like kind of a piece of shit, right? Like,
I don't know. I don't know.
I'm a Jim Cornette fan. You don't like Jim Cornette? I've met Jim Cornette, and Jim Cornette has said many times that Heyman's a piece of shit. So I'm kind of going to go by that.
Well, you know,
tennis racket rules, man. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Well,
all right, listen, Johnny.
As long as it's not concrete in it.
Ha! We got to reel it back in here. We were just discussing that we had the two Tonys facing the Luchadors, and that was a great tag team match.
Yes.
And it was interesting.
Excellent.
Good matchup.
I think that that those guys are great. I think that because of Ricardo's excellent in-ring work, I think Mr. Big and Hitman Tony Danza are just awesome.
They got blindsided, though. They lost to the smaller athletes.
The weak link in that match, in my opinion, the weak link. Yes, they did. They lost to them. They pulled it off. But if we were to have a rematch of that or like a 2 out of 3 falls, I don't know if we'd have that result.
I got to tell you something. We've received a lot of fan interactions since first episodes have aired.
Yep.
And they did not like how we like to have... 1, Stashberg and Ingles, 2 and 3. So what we're supposed to do and moving forward in the Federation is to branch out with the many TV dads who are now part of the network and the Federation. So hopefully we'll stop doing this. So I'm not going to have a second match with those people. The two Tonys are going to be a tag team on themselves. And I believe Mr. Big is going to go into his own singles competition
He's already, Chicago Brass Knucks champion up there in that pit fighting division? And
I don't know if I agree. I believe that Evans is in contention for the Chi-Town Street Blues title.
Oh, that sounds like...
Listen here, Jack.
Yeah. Listen here, Jack. That's...
And this might be why Michael was so angry.
What a great feud.
At the loss of
Bonaduce. You're on fire, my friend.
I'm just saying. So moving right along.
Pure gold.
We had crowned, in a very bizarre twist of fate, if you will, the first lightweight champion ever in the history of the TV Dads Wrestling Federation.
Genghis
Khan, the unknown athlete, who we know nothing about, he looks like a short person or quote-unquote a midget, which we're not supposed to say. That's like the N-word for little people, so we say a little person.
Yeah.
And he faced off against the young Peter Brady.
I may have some interesting news on that later on our next recap.
Our next recap after the next pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So far down the road.
Or,
TV Dads Wrestling has grown tremendously.
Our next time we get to talk on, you know. Dude, Peter the Great won.
No, he lost in the ring, but unfortunately.
But he still was considered the winner.
Because you would not have Genghis Khan submit to DNA testing to prove who his existence was, to have him in the registry for all of the TV Dads wrestling.
Well, that's...
So Genghis Khan technically won that match. Peter the Great is now the first lightweight champion. I'm not going to lie to you. It doesn't sit well with me, but it did happen.
Right. He did win the belt. And I can't force this guy. I mean, you got to understand the power of this man. Genghis Khan is not just a little... I mean, he's wide. The wideness of his shoulders. I mean, this was a pretty powerful. Maybe it's part of the suit. I have no idea. But Peter got the win, and that's what counts.
Not really, but he got the championship. He's now moving right along, the newly crowned TV champion, the thespian Fred Gwynn, had to defend his championship for the first time ever, not really on television, more of a pay-per-view event, against Ward the Cleaver. Yes. And you were very disturbed at how the children were looking in reference to them walking their father to the ring with the 4R?
Absolutely, the 4R. I don't know what 4R means.
On the flags?
He's got his own, it looks strangely like a Nazi flag, I would say, but it's not exactly a Nazi flag.
He definitely has that mustache happening.
It could be 4F, perhaps. Maybe he's trying to, like, I have no idea what Ward Cleaver is out of his mind, and he is growing a mustache in the middle. There's nothing wrong with him having...
I think that Adolf Hitler might have inadvertently destroyed the fashion of the center mustache for all of eternity. When you see it, like, you don't think Charlie Chaplin, you think Hitler.
Absolutely. I would agree completely, but there is Chaplin. That's true.
Now, the giant, as we call him now, Chaplin. We call the giant Fred Gwynn, the thespian,
yeah,
defeats the Cleaver.
That,
here's the interesting, I'm sorry to interrupt, I apologize.
Oh, no worries, go ahead.
Ted Knight, who is not an athlete in the Federation, he is merely a color commentator and a ring announcer, referred to him not once, but twice as Herman Munster.
Now, do you think he was doing that to provoke him?
Sincerely feel that is the way.
Because Ted Knight is not...
I like Ted Knight. He's a pleasant gentleman.
Oh, absolutely. He's very talented. I'm just saying he's also a very formidable opponent.
But if you've seen the movies Animal House or Caddyshack, he kind of plays a fucker. For lack of a better word, he's kind of a fucker.
Yeah.
So I feel as though he was taunting the thespian.
Yes, absolutely.
And calling him... Herman Munster.
And that, what does that piss him off? I don't understand, because the second he said Herman Munster, everybody cheered. Who doesn't love Herman Munster? I don't get it. And he's,
you know who doesn't? You know who doesn't, Johnny?
He's flicking off the crowd.
Frederick Gwynn does not like Herman Munster.
Why is that?
And remember, he goes back and forth from his thespian smoking jacket to his police uniform with Cop Lives Matter.
Yeah. This just, can I?
Of course, breaking news?
Yeah, we got something from a house show. Apparently, leading up to the pay-per-view, we have such substantiated information.
What do you mean from the house show, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's doing it all over the country.
What exactly is transpiring?
In bars, in two. Is
in bars? That's amazing.
Understand. There's people that have been thrown through tables for calling him Herman Munster. Apparently, there's a $20,000 body slam challenge for Herman Munster, obviously mimicking Andre the Giant and Big John Studd feud of the 1980s. It's not a secret.
That's amazing, Mr. Zero. This is substantiated.
Yeah. Well, he's claiming to be 7'9". and I don't remember Fred Gwynn being 7'9".
No, we're going to have our researchers look into that. We'll find out what the exact height of Fred Gwynn was.
He claims it, but he's also saying that on the air, that if you look at him in not only in Pet Sematary, but in My Cousin Vinny, when he's the judge and he's up over top of the where the judge with the hand, the mallet and everything, that there's no walk up stand there. He's sitting on the ground, and he claims, he's sending out on the internet pictures of him sitting on the ground and hands go over top of it. Now, that's 7 feet off the ground.
Now, unfortunately, in 2018, we have the ability to look online. And when I look it up, and my staff just verified that the actor Fred Gwynn's actual height is merely 6'5". 6'5".
Well, he's putting out a press release that he had to lie about his
in order to get work back then.
Yes, because he was considered too big, because he was trying to get out of,
as my wife would say, character. Tuboku.
Well, I don't know which one's true. I don't believe he's 7'9", but I do think he's bigger than 6'5". And he claims to be the true giant of TV Dad Wrestling Federation.
Or the true giant of wrestling at this point.
Yes, absolutely.
And he has a $20,000 bounty to anyone who can slam him.
What do you think about Bonaducci and him? What do you think about a match that would make?
I got to be honest. I think it'd be fantastic. I mean, Bonaducci is not a big gentleman. He definitely has Joni as his valet to the ring.
Yes.
Perhaps he wants to make a run to the TV championship. What I find fantastically odd about it is that Gwynn's kind of become a full-on heel at this point in his career. And yep. Bonaducci is also a heel. To see them face off might be bizarre.
But why people just, it's like the Freebirds in Philly. I can't explain it. People cheer.
People cheering for Bonaducci. I'm not 100% sure if I'm on board with that as a concept. He's like the Macho Man was. He'd come out and they really would boo him.
Macho Man mixed with the in-ring work of, say, a Chris Benoit, even though that's something nobody wants to mention anymore, but it's strictly in ring work. I absolutely, he's absolutely with Miss Joni as well as is Miss Elizabeth. And what the funny thing about it is the fact that he's getting cheered just like the Freebirds were in Philly, and they had to stop. They stopped bringing up pay-per-views to Philly. WCW did in the early 90s because of that.
But that's like the late incarnation of the Freebirds, if I'm not mistaken. That's not with Bam Bam Gordy at all, right?
Well, absolutely. That is Gorgeous Jimmy Garvin, who gets respect for his own thing.
They do not respect Gorgeous Jimmy Garvin.
But just the fact that heels got cheered on a pay-per-view in Philly when they didn't have pay-per-views very much there.
That would be more Michael Hayes than it is Garvin.
Garvin had everything to do with it. Don't you remember? I'm sorry. We're really sorry. It's
considering
not our fault. And he's ripping the guy's face off.
I stopped watching wrestling in 1989. I have no recollection of any of this.
Got it.
Okay.
Cool.
The next match of the evening was to crown the new World Heavyweight Tag Team Champions.
Yes.
And that was against Urban Folklore.
Yes.
Who features who exactly, Johnny Zero?
That is Uncle Slam. It's basically Uncle Sam and Santa Claus. You got Fred Sanford and Archie Bunker. And their takes on them, and what a team they make.
And they faced off against the Royals, who really are the kind. They are that. The Royals win. They are the new tag team champions of the TV Dads Wrestling Federation. And they had a gas mask match. There we go.
Yes, absolutely. I try to say that five times. Absolutely. And you got OJ and Cosby. I'd like to see a rematch with that, really, be honest with you.
I don't know at this point. So we had to bring in the gas mask and nobody would get drugged. It turns out that it was a Bloody Stash Clothing Organization gas mask, which
yes.
I don't know what that means. I don't want to make any implications. I have no to speak on this. It was interesting that the Royals did win. They are definitively the World Tag Team Champions.
And I'm noticing a lot of people walking around with those clothes on. What is that all about?
Well, if you noticed, I have my three-piece suit
yes.
that I'm still wearing from the event earlier this evening.
Wow.
I was brought in by the BSC, the
yes.
clothing helicopter.
Yes.
And frankly speaking, it's just wonderful, wonderful clothing.
Yeah, but cufflinks? What is this cufflinks? You have cufflinks on.
They're platinum cufflinks. There's nothing wrong with them. I like them a lot.
My gosh, man. I just got out of an air shaft, and you got platinum cufflinks.
This is why I was not crawling through an air shaft, sir. Now, we are both reporters in the TV Dads Wrestling Federation. This is what we do, and you have a side job. You work for some rag, a publishing magazine. I don't do that, sir. I represent the reality of the TV Dads Wrestling Federation, and I happen to have a sponsor with the Bloody Stash Clothing Organization, and that's also.
Just, my brother, be careful, man. Just be careful. I have a gut feeling about it. It just be careful.
Now, continuing along with the wrap-up premise, again, Charles Ingles, the Frontiersman, is the first ever World Heavyweight Champion. He will now represent the TV Dads Wrestling Federation.
What a moment. What a moment. What a moment. It's not often in this sport that you get to see something like that happen inaugurally. Could it happen to a better guy, do you think? I mean, what do you think?
Mr. Brady would have made a phenomenal champion, sir.
I don't know, man. Highway to Heaven, excuse me, into a perfect storm.
I think that was a Freudian slip. I think that you have revealed
erroneously. I'm thinking AC/DC.
Or by mistake that perhaps that Michael Landon, not really Michael Landon, I apologize, Charles Ingles.
Yes.
Might be influenced by Satan himself.
No, not at all. He's a real guy.
He's a greedy gentleman who's making milk commercials.
Greedy.
He now carries the World's Heavyweight Champion, the most prestigious belt in all of wrestling.
Wait, hold on a second, folks. That's not true. That's the fountain of misinformation.
He's not
here.
The champion? That's what you're saying?
Are you Jesse the Body Ventura?
I agree sincerely that Mr. Brady should be the World's Heavyweight Champion. And perhaps if we are fortunate, they will face off in the square circle. Now, ironically enough,
mm-hmm.
Charles Gwynn. Is that his name? No, I'm
Fred
sorry.
Gwynn.
Fred Gwynn
yeah.
is now the number one contender for
that
the
is true.
World's Heavyweight Championship.
He can use that World Television title as his ticket. It's like a ticket to have a match for the World Heavyweight Championship.
And there's no two ways about it. That's the guy.
And Ingles is a fighting champion. So
says you, sir. I mean, he's had the championship for four hours.
Did you hear about the news the other day? I don't know if you guys are out there. This is serious. RobJonesJourney.com is a wounded Marine who had his legs amputated. God bless him. Thank you for your service. Was running a after being in Afghanistan, was running a marathon. And
he doesn't have legs, sir.
No, he has prosthetic legs.
I thought you were going to say he was running a brothel, but go ahead, sir.
No, he was running a brothel. And apparently Ingalls was incognito running with him with a hood on. And actually, funny thing is, he did wear a stash.
I believe that that was Tom Hanks playing the character from the movie Forrest Gump, sir.
No, no. This actually happened just a few days ago. And Springer or somebody, I have no idea who, the media just came and they were messing with him too much. And he didn't want, Ingalls did not want any of the attention to go away from RobJonesJourney.com. Please visit it. Helps our troops. That's for real. And then he jumped off into the ocean down here by the shore in Jersey, and he actually punched out a shark right in the snout.
Wait, you have to explain this. I'm sorry. Number one, your champion, the new heavyweight champion, the TWF, is trying to look like Mike Brady, is what you're telling me. He literally is emulating the greatest wrestler in the Federation. He's wearing a phony mustache. Your words, not mine, your words.
Oh.
And now you're telling me that with his phony mustache, he has full of strength because he thinks he's Mike Brady.
Sunglasses and a hood on. He didn't want to be.
He was the Unabomber? Is that what you're telling me?
No, he was just getting his exercise in. But
he's sad that he's not part of the Bloody Stash Clothing Corporation, and I respect that.
Well, then he got away from it once people kind of figure. I mean, who doesn't know who Charles Ingalls is? I mean, really. They knew it was a frontiersman, and he's...
Well, at this point, no one doesn't, because he's the heavyweight champion of the TWF, and they understand he is a big star. However, he's trying to dress up like Mike Brady, which I find fantastic. I think that's the best part of the story. And then he has superhuman strength, and what happened with the shark? Explain this.
Well, he got off of it. Apparently, they go over a bridge, and it was slippery, and Rob had hurt himself and got up running again. God bless him.
So your hero pushed him down?
No. The media coverage was too much for Charles Ingalls, who was behind him. In disguise, he didn't want, Charles Ingalls makes his character in the ring.
So Charles Ingalls,
he's not great on the stick.
He pushes down a veteran and then ran away and jumped off a bridge before someone caught him pushing a veteran.
No, we have it all on tape. He went down to the water, and apparently a great white shark had rumbled, just like 1916, if you guys look up where the story that Jaws was actually written on, he got into the water, and sometimes there are rogue sharks. And he managed to punch it single-handedly underwater in the nose and turn it away. And apparently, some people are reporting a 16-footer, and some people are saying 23-footer. This is a hell of a man.
And then he came and he competed for the TV Dads Wrestling Federation Heavyweight Championship.
Absolutely.
And you tell me this man's not on steroids. I want to hear it. I want you to tell me that he's not on steroids. He's dressing like Mike Brady in public, trying to be the greatest wrestler ever.
I don't know. I hear Bonaducci's going to go and find out, maybe. Maybe send Bonaducci up there to find out.
Send him where, sir?
What I'm saying is there is some question about the Tool Time Tim case where, with the drugs and so forth. He's under investigation. He did work out up at the Ingalls farm for 90 days. He did not test positive in the toxicology report for steroids of any kind. I would think that if Ingalls is up there, it's more like Rocky IV. He's working out. You know, what's he going to be lifting up there? Barrels of hay.
As always, Johnny Zero is avoiding the question and trying to forget the fact that Mike Brady is the greatest athlete featured in the TV Dad Wrestling Federation today. But moving right along with what you just said, there is actually new information. So yes. Tim Toolman Taylor, which is played by what is his name?
Tim Allen.
Mr. Tim Allen has been suspended for 90 days. Yes. The judge, Philip Banks, has granted a hearing. And actually, on the next program, on Saturday night, a week from today.
Yes.
Saturday morning. I apologize.
Yes.
They're going to have the hearing. And the heckler must present his case. I'm not sure who's going to represent him.
Sick Van Dyke.
Ugh. His name is Dick Van Dyke, sir. Dick Van Dyke, the heckler. Yeah. He is a family man. Mm. The sick Van Dyke is unnecessary and frankly unwarranted.
We will see. It looks like they've got Tool Time Tim, the technician. As he was working on the ring, looks like they've got him dead to rights. But Ingalls, the world's heavyweight champion, is putting his reputation on the line, as is John Ritter.
But everyone's like speaking about John Ritter. The man's never, ever been in the squared circle. He's never competed. Well, to the best of my knowledge, he's a homosexual from the movie Sling Blade. Like, I don't understand in any capacity why we're having such a discussion about Mr. Ritter.
Well, apparently this is getting people's attention, and they're coming out to get his not to get his back as a wrestler. As a TV.
I just want to revisit that.
People
are getting John Ritter's back to make him a TV dad's wrestler. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that if he wants to do that, I don't know. But John Ritter is one of the character witnesses to stand up.
He'll be appearing in the court.
In the court case.
Okay.
And
with the judge, Phillips.
Yes, and he was backstage consoling
Vicky. If I'm not mistaken, you had said he molested Vicky backstage.
No,
is that what
Mr. Lawson. No.
No, I believe you said John Ritter was in the corner inappropriately touching Vicky, the droid from the show, a small wonder?
No, apparently she's not a droid. I really don't know. That's not what I saw for the ventilation shaft.
So just to recap, John Ritter molesting Vicky in the corner backstage of the TV Dads Wrestling Federation first ever pay-per-view event.
No, it was Mr. Lawson, because there was other TV celebrities and TV dads and so forth backstage, because this is, folks, you got to understand, this is our first pay-per-view, and this is our first celebratory inaugural
event. I just want to verify
that,
just so the listeners understand completely.
John Ritter was the one consoling Vicky.
Which means molestation. He was molesting Vicky with his private parts.
No, I saw him slap her.
You saw Mr. Ritter slap Vicky?
No, I saw
That's amazing.
Mr. Lawson. And, but I who am I to tell a man how to discipline his own children? I don't know, but it made me made me uncomfortable. But I'm trying to do my job here, and we had the Evans going on, and there's the other stuff. We may have clips later. We just had to get out of there. I'm in a ventilation shaft, man.
For God's sake, Johnny Zero.
I put my ass on the line for you guys.
In the ventilation shaft.
And did Bull mess with you guys while up there?
I had someone who came over, and they checked my credentials, and thankfully we're allowed to be here. Now, more breaking developments in the TV Dads Wrestling Federation.
Absolutely.
I'm receiving a memo across my laptop as we speak that Jerry Springer has assumed full control of the Federation. Now, what this does in relation to Howard Cunningham is unknown at this moment.
Yeah, that's a very good question.
I do know for a fact that Howard Cunningham, under Ross Perot, had full governorship. He was the commissioner of the TV Dads.
As far as the sport goes, not as ownership and so forth.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But when it came to the rules in the ring, they have a close relationship. Ross Perot is a huge Happy Days fan.
Yeah.
And he's let Howard Cunningham write the book, if you will.
Howard Cunningham has been absolutely a great. He's been great so far.
And I'll tell you, not a lot of personality for Mr. Cunningham, but a fair leader.
I gotta tell you, he's really grown on me recently. That was one of the ones that I really just kind of overlooked. I don't know why, I just did. I really, really like. He's a really fair. It was a good choice on your part. I agree. On Perot's part, excuse me.
I got to tell you, there's information breaking about Happy Days that I want to share with you at this time. It seems that Potsy Weber, and Ralph Mouth will now be a tag team that are sanctioned to compete. Yeah, they're going to now compete in the TV Dads Wrestling. Now, again, they could never hold the heavyweight championship.
I had heard that they had done, they were going up for some, I heard some rumor, that ever since TV Dad Wrestling came on, there's been all kinds of regional stuff. I had heard that they'd gone for a Milwaukee tag or something like that, but is that true?
It's official. I'm reading the email as we speak.
Yeah.
They're going to compete, not today, obviously. There's no wrestling today.
Right.
The pay-per-view is over.
Right.
This is the wrap-up show.
Right.
But in the next broadcast, perhaps they'll make their debut.
Awesome.
Ralph the Mouth.
Awesome. Ralph Mouth and Potsy.
Potsy Weber.
Did they give any, do you have any idea, is there any names on, like, are they going to have a team name, or is it going to be Potsy and Weber?
I believe it's the Milwaukee Killers.
Milwaukee Killers. As opposed to the Polkai Killers.
Which could be an interesting conundrum.
Holy shit.
Are they favored because of Howard Cunningham having, like, a hand in it? Now, they were brought to the Federation. You know who handles the contract work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it isn't Fonzie.
Right.
It's our director of operations, Henry Winkler. So Henry Winkler has brought in two more athletes. They're from that program. They can wrestle. They just could never compete in a singles match.
Right.
To be heavyweight champion. But technically, obviously, they can hold the world tag team champions. They could do that. They could hold that title if they were so inclined.
That is fucking brilliant.
I just don't understand if they're going to compete well. I don't know much about them. There's no film available at this time.
Well, we're just going to have to look up and see what's going on in Milwaukee. I did hear something from someone about a Milwaukee Wrestling Alliance.
Oh, Johnny Zero, there's another email. I want to have you read this. It seems that John Ritter is now going to appear as an athlete. Would you take this over and explain what his character is going to be?
Okay. John Ritter is going to be an athlete. He's going with this Hero at Large character, the film Hero at Large.
Understood.
And he wants to apparently he wants to face Mr. Lawson in the ring on behalf of Vicky. And this is, of course, after his arrest for – he has been arrested already for dressing up like a superhero and being a vigilante. But he is
going – Who has been arrested, sir?
John Ritter has something in his past from a long time ago. But he is going after Mr. Lawson, who for – apparently it's for Vicky's honor.
Now, just to be technical, Mr. Lawson is not yet sanctioned to appear in the TWF. Now, we have to ask Henry Winkler about that.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think, John, from what I understand from this email, it's kind of vague. I don't think Ritter cares if it's official or not, or in a bar, or anytime, anywhere. I think he just wants to kill this guy.
Now, is Ritter affiliated officially with the World Heavyweight Champion?
I think that Ingles and Ritter are friends. I can't really go into detail on that, but I'm sure they're friends. But that doesn't mean that he's his, that he's an official wrestler or anything like that. We're gonna have to see. I know he has trained at the Ingles Farm, as did Tool Time Tim.
So to recap the breaking news we just received.
Yeah.
The Milwaukee Killers, featuring Ralph the Mouth and Potsy Weber, will now compete as a tag team in the TDWF.
Yes.
And John Ritter, assuming the character of
Captain Avenger. Yeah.
Will now also compete. Will he wear a cape, sir?
No. I don't think so. I don't really know, but I think he's just going to wear the trench coat with the suit with the yellow boots underneath.
Oh, I get it. I think I understand. He's going to wear a trench coat so he can expose himself to Vicky.
Yes.
Wow. You've just admitted that John Ritter's a molester.
No, he's going to defend her. And I think he's
himself
from what I understand,
her.
He's there because of the abuse that's going on to Beaver, Wally, and when he heard TV Dads, Beaver, Wally, and Vicky. I mean, come on, man. June's got two shattered cheekbones. You saw Rod.
I've
Beaver.
Said it once, I've said it a dozen times, that June Cleaver frequents Craigslist, and she makes these choices in her life that are unnecessary and frankly damaging to her physicality and psyche. I've said it 1,000 times.
Well, I think somebody like Ritter has been sitting on the sidelines and gets pissed off about it. Maybe he's an armchair quarterback of sorts. But he's going after Lawson. And I also hear that he's putting in to I don't know if this is true or not, but I've heard this. He's going to put in to adopt Vicky. I don't know if that's true or not.
I'm not going to lie to you.
Well, think about it. This guy has
It's mildly disturbing that a guy running around in a trench coat, who I've already heard is molesting her in the corner, is now trying to get...
Dude. Listen, Mr. Lawson.
Adoption of Vicky.
Who conducts experiments on their teenage daughter in their basement for years? Think about that for a second. What was going on down there? When the cameras went off, what was going on with Lawson? That's pretty sick. Me, Vicky. I mean, think about it, dude. Think about it. She's a robot, dude.
But it might be one of those like horrible stories you're hearing about Hollywood at this point, where she's getting passed around from Ritter to Lawson and back and forth. No. And now there's like a love triangle, and Ritter's trying to get her affections.
No.
And it's just, I want to stress, I'm looking this up as we speak. The character of Vicky is now 21 years old. So technically, she is too old to be adopted. So this is clearly a bizarre.
Like it was a. Rumor I heard. I don't know.
A bizarre love
triangle. Maybe they just get her away from... abuse can go on for years, man. I mean, you can't really put a time limit on that. I mean, this poor girl's probably traumatized, man. We have to stand up for that.
Currently,
it's TV Dads.
I want to stress that currently in the Jerry Springer administration of the TV Dads Wrestling Federation, obviously convictions... might matter, but we have tag team champions, people who hold the world title. One was tried for double homicide. He wasn't convicted.
Yeah.
The other one tried. He is the most... hold on. How do I say this phrasing? Bear with me. Mm-hmm. The most prolific rapist of the 20th century. I've heard that said about Mr. Cosby, who is currently our world's tag team champion.
Everybody has their day in court. I can't speak on it. I wasn't there. But do you feel that way personally?
I'm a fan of the Royals. They are fantastic competitors.
Oh, they're great in the ring.
I love that they've never lost a match. They're, well, that's not true. They were disqualified.
Lots of good tag work.
Lots
continuity.
Of good tag work. Fast. Yeah. Cosby's a shocking high flyer, which you wouldn't suspect.
Yeah,
frankly.
You wouldn't think, actually. And fluid. He's fluid in his work. He's fluid in his movements. And OJ is, I mean, your classic power wrestler. I mean, it's absolutely.
And there's
ahead.
A lot of time that Mr. Cosby had spent being a chemist. Perhaps this is while he was the physician on the Cosby Show, and he got to deal with drugs and things.
Yes.
So he's a good chemist, and they're good. And frankly speaking, they are the tag team champions, and we must respect that.
Yeah, they are the best in the world.
Now, revisiting, if we're to talk about the lightweight champion, how can anyone take Peter Brady seriously when he didn't even win the match and was just awarded the victory because the other gentleman was disqualified?
I don't know. I will have more on that on the next broadcast because apparently there's something in Genghis Khan's contract now with Springer taking over. He may have to unveil himself. Matter of fact, let me type in there now. And see if he'll send me something back. So keep going next. Let me get back to you on that one. Or do you have any information on your end?
No, not at all. It's just that now that Peter Brady's affiliated with Mr. Brady,
yes.
who has the Bloody Stash Clothing Corporation,
yes.
and that technically is the first gold held by that continuum of wrestling. Like, they're a family organization.
Yes.
You know, Peter's part of it, obviously. Johnny Bravo, which is Peter Brady.
Yes.
No, I'm sorry. What's his
Greg.
Name? Greg Brady.
Greg
I apologize.
Brady. Yep.
Now, you know, there's some news about the Brady family that I wanted to share with you.
Yep.
Bobby Brady is getting released from prison shortly. He went away because he had a problem with methamphetamines, and he's been locked up for about 4.5 years, and he's going to return, and he's going to wrestle competitively once he's out of jail. He's sporting a bizarre dyed blonde haircut. He has a couple of face tattoos.
Wow.
There's some prison
tattoos.
But he's in fantastic shape because he's
awesome.
Been lifting weights for several years while inside. And he's an angry young man.
Isn't he the one that Brady, the Bloody Stash Butcher, doesn't like?
It's funny you should say that. That would be Peter Brady. Bobby's his favorite, actually. That's the youngest.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And that's kind of I think he's going to be taken under the wing of the Bloody Stash Butcher. And perhaps he'll grow a mustache. I don't know. You know, maybe he'll tattoo a mustache because he loves his family.
That would be amazing.
But he's going to appear competitively.
That's amazing.
Going forward.
That's amazing. Oh, my God. That is crazy, dude.
Well, Mr. Brady is a pillar of the community. And as I told you, he's saved the lives of hundreds of teenage males.
Well,
over the criteria of his career. And he stood up in court, and they're releasing Bobby, you know, under the care of his father, even though he's overage. He's obviously an adult. But
didn't Bobby actually, wasn't he high school California state champion? Like in something 14 years in a row or something?
I don't have the information in front of me, so I can't
speak on it. Greco-Roman, like actual collegiate something.
But he's an angry little bastard. I'm not going to lie to you.
Orange County or something?
Covered in tattoos. He has a weird blonde dye job thing.
Wow. Folks, that could be the future, the next generation of TV Dad Wrestling. That sounds awesome. Because I know he was a four-time California state champion. Where are they at? Orange County?
I think of him kind of like an angry junkyard dog.
Wow.
He's been in a cage for quite a long time.
Wow.
I believe you can acquire methamphetamines in prison. I haven't done any substantial time.
Wow.
But I think it's a possibility. So he might come out with a healthy habit. But he's in very good shape. Tremendous condition.
Wow. Unbelievable. Unbelievable! It never stops here, folks. We got some amazing stuff coming your way. But the thing with Gwynn, I don't know if like I said, he's the true giant of. He's claiming to be the true giant of wrestling.
And $20,000.
Yes.
Now is that his own money? Does he carry it with him to the ring? Is it in a bag?
I would assume so. Yes.
This is off a house show, so no one's seen this on television yet.
And the thing is, he makes the ring announcer. He has a ring announcer. Announce him as the world's TV champion.
Which he is.
And he is, but it's not a televised match. I mean, I just saw a clip from Des Moines, Iowa. Everybody wants him to wear the Herman Munster suit. Grandpa Al Munster, Al Lewis, came out to talk some, and talk some sense into him. And he took him and pressed him above his 7'9" claims self-proclaimed 7 foot 9 inch frame, and tossed him and took out the entire front row.
So he threw Grandpa from the ring.
Yes.
Now, it's interesting you say this, because I've received documentation while we're having this discussion that Grandpa Munster is now the valet of the TV's champion. And it doesn't say Herman Munster. It says the thespian, Fred Gwynn.
What is that all about? Because when he fell, the people obviously broke his fall.
But so he wasn't injured in any capacity.
No. But still, just the fact that he would do that because he tried to call him Herman.
There's a wrinkle here that we're leaving out.
Yeah.
Could Ted Knight be activated as an athlete?
Absolutely.
Could Ted Knight, because he was a TV dad.
Too close for comfort.
Exactly.
He was the voice of Batman and the Joker in the 60s. There's another show he was a Knight dad on, too. What was it?
It doesn't matter. He qualifies because it's too close for comfort, so it's not really an issue. My point is, he's an older gentleman.
Yes.
Could you see him activated?
It's crazy.
And being a full-on athlete and maybe going after Gwynn, because he did draw first blood. He referred to him not once, but twice, as Herman Munster after winning the world's TV champion. He defended it. This is the man who was our champion.
I agree, but didn't Ted Knight make that promise to never fight again after that?
I know. Someone died in the ring. I'm aware of this. It was a boxing match in Oklahoma. It did happen. Yeah. There was no television footage.
Do you have any clips of that?
There's no footage. No Super 8s? There's nothing.
Was it a boxing match or like a wrestling match?
No, it was a boxing match.
Okay.
It did happen.
Yeah.
Someone died
snapped
in the
his
ring.
Neck, right?
So Ted's powerful. At least he was powerful.
Yeah.
So to be honest, I'm not sure what could happen, but that Oklahoma pass could follow him.
Yeah.
It's a possibility. I don't even know if he could legally get sanctioned because it was a bare knuckles match.
Yep.
In the 70s, you had to use gloves. That was definitely the rules.
Yeah.
But, you know, they just did it. They fought in Fred Knight. Ted Knight.
I have heard stories about that, and his hair flipped out, and he snapped the guy's neck. I don't know if it's like Boom Boom Mancini versus Kim I remember his name, God rest his soul, in 1983. Apparently, he just went to town on him and it snapped the guy's neck. I've always heard that. Now, I didn't know. I don't think he meant there was no bad blood between the two fighters before that, right? And he gave up fighting after that, did he not?
He definitely retired. He's not fought since then.
Didn't he have to go to for treatment and stuff after that?
It was Oklahoma. It was the 70s. I think there was some money spread around and it kind of disappeared. At this time, he was on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, so he had a career. It wasn't but the bottom line is I just feel that he despises, and I'm speaking, I don't know this definitively.
Right, sure.
This is the impression I've gotten.
Absolutely.
Is he's very angry with Fred Gwynn. Fred Gwynn is the thespian. Maybe Ted Knight believes he's more of a thespian than Fred Gwynn.
Absolutely.
And he sees that he moonlights. He's a part of Cop Lives Matter. This could be the issue. I'm not really sure. Now, Ted Knight, I believe, is a liberal, and the police officers, the way they are in this country at this time, he's not really getting along with the whole Cop Lives Matter vibe, and I think that the arrogance...
Right.
Of Fred Gwynn.
Well, Fred Gwynn wants to be thespian. The clip I got was thespian, giant, judge, and executioner. He wants to be all three. Plus, he has an identity with Cop Lives Matter. Who is this guy?
Could you imagine if he beats Charles Ingalls?
I tell you.
And that is our world's heavyweight champion.
Does
Ted Knight go after the belt? Does he say, I'm going to stop this once and for all?
And he says that Gwynn has actually said, he's pointed out the media, Ted Knight and everybody else, I guess that means us, I don't know, but that for keeping him down, basically, and that we just want to dress him up in a Frankenstein suit. He's even insulted the Boris Karloff estate. Which is ridiculous. He does not want to be known as the Frankenstein character. And you've got Bull sitting right there. You've got Kurgan. There's so many guys that would love to be in his shoes, and he just doesn't want to. What is that all about?
I must verify that the TV Dads Wrestling Federation has a fantastic crew, and they have just given us specific information. We have a recording of Fred Gwynn discussing Karloff, as Johnny Zero had reported. I want you to hear this. Ladies and gentlemen, please listen to this footage. Here we go.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't believe it. We have Fred Gwynn speaking about his tremendous hatred of Karloff, which I didn't even know Johnny Zero. I didn't even know about it. And our crew, our staff, immediately found it. They're like, we got it. Vex, we have it. We have it. So we just played it for you. And I hope that you heard it. But there's so much going on. We have Ted Knight, who's calling out Fred Gwynn. We have Fred Gwynn, who's talking negatively about Boris Karloff. There's so much happening in the TV Dads Wrestling Federation. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the wrap-up show. Is there anything in summation, Mr. Z?
I just can't believe. That's what a way to end the show. That was a great... I can't believe that he... Gwynn is crazy. We'll have to see what's going on in the next event. Thanks for having us, guys. We appreciate it. Please visit our Facebook page. And I'll let Vex tell you the rest.
As Johnny Zero had said, as always, thank you for listening, and please take the time to log on to Facebook and go to the Facebook page for the TV Dads Wrestling Federation. We're specifically and exclusively on the Loud and Loaded Network and are a part of every place podcasting is available. So please download the episodes, share it with your friends, and thank you again so much for listening. Anything else, Johnny Zero?
Absolutely. Just keep us writing, and we're with you. Thanks. Rock
thank
and roll.
You, guys. Have a fantastic evening.
You too.